When will I turn away from this, Ya Rab? When will I, oh Allah, become good, Ya Rab?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani channel, welcome back to our silsila. And in this program, Inshallah Azza wa Jal, we'll be discussing a new topic on a new major sin that has been mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and in the Holy Quran as well. And if you can remember, if you've been watching this silsila, we are trying to highlight some of the major sins. And according to them, the ulama that have said that anyone who makes a habit of committing these major sins, then his iman becomes in danger. So it's very, very important that we learn about these major sins. Now, as you also know, that when a person commits a minor sin, a smaller sin, then by offering salah, keeping fast, and giving sadaqah in charity, these sins can be forgiven. But my dear Islam brothers, never think to yourself, whenever if someone commits a sin, that this is a very small, very minor sin. Because that minor sin could be the greatest sin that we've ever committed in our life. So we should always try to keep away from major and minor sins as well. Always keep repenting. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, one of the Madani inamat that Amir al-Sunnah has given us is, do you offer two rakats at night and repent in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal? And Alhamdulillah, which is the tariqah of the awliya kiram and the salaf al-saliheen, that Alhamdulillah they used to keep repenting. And as we hear from the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam's hadith, there are so many virtues and blessings of repenting as well. So inshallah Azza wa Jal, today we've come with a new topic and a new major sin that we need to learn and we need to understand and we need to try to keep away from it. And as Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, you're watching Madani channel, whatever inshallah we're going to learn today, try to pass this on to other people as well by acting upon the sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, pass on from me whatever you know, even though if it's a small thing. So whatever we learn during this bayan, try to pass it on to other people. You never know, my dear Islamic brothers, we might save someone's iman. So please, whatever you are doing at the moment, leave everything for a short while, just a short bayan. And inshallah, Azza wa Jal, whatever we learn from this bayan, try to pass on to others as well. May Allah Ta'ala give me and all of us the ability to speak the truth and to also act upon the truth as well. Before we begin knowledge of the greater sin, let's read a beautiful blessing of reciting durood and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Amir al-Sunnah, Hazrat Allama Mawlana Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, may his shadow remain upon us, has quoted in his book that once a saint of Allah Azza wa Jal reported that he dreamt a person after his death. He asked him, Ma fa'ala Allahu bika? How did Allah Azza wa Jal treat you? The deceased replied, Allah Azza wa Jal forgave me. I asked the reason for that and he said, once I requested one of the great scholars of hadith to dictate me any hadith along with its chain of narrators. Hence, while dictating the hadith to me, when the blessed name of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was mentioned, the respected scholar invoked salah, yani durood upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I also recited durood aloud, and listening to me, other participants of the gathering began reciting durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah azza wa jal forgave all the participants of that gathering by the virtue of the recitation of durood upon the noble Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallim. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani channel, another great sin that has been mentioned in the Quran is to drink alcohol, sharab, khamr. And today we're going to learn about alcohol and why it has become haram and what are the consequences of drinking alcohol, worldly, spiritually and physically as well. My dear Islam brothers, why alcohol has been haram in Islam? One of the reasons is that it intoxicates the mind. It intoxicates a person's mind. And at that time, the person, he doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know who is stood in front of him. And there are so many cases where someone was drunk and then he was talking to his father and he was, you know, belittling his own father. He was belittling his own mother. He doesn't have that respect anymore because he can't think. So therefore, when he was talking to his father, Ma'azallah, he started swearing at him. And then when the hangover's gone, and then you come to your senses, then a person thinks, you know, what have I done? He doesn't even know that he's committed them sins. So my dear Islam brothers, it's very, very important that we keep ourselves away from drinking alcohol. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, we have to have an open war. We need to wage a war against drinking alcohol. I'm just going to mention a few of the incidents that have happened. As I mentioned, that a few youngsters in Babul Madina, in Karachi, Pakistan, planned a get-together on the 7th of Ramadan, 1428 Hijri, the 21st of September 2007. And sadly, the party included drinking and eating, along with dancing. There were 40 friends in total. As soon as the evening fell and street lights lit that area, people made their way to present themselves in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal for offering salah. Whereas these youngsters gathered together and started singing, dancing and drinking. They caused so much of noise in the colony that some of the youngsters got drunk too much and fell on the ground. Other friends laughed out aloud at their drunken friends and continued drinking excessively. Drinks were consumed one after another. They were losing senses with the passage of time and were tumbling on the ground one after the other due to intoxication. Suddenly, one friend asked the other one, "What has happened to all of these? Why have they slept?" Both looked alarmingly at each other and realized the situation. Police were then immediately called. When the police arrived, 27 youngsters had died and others were struggling for their survival and were taken to hospital. Finally, this dancing and drinking party held in the blessed month of Ramadan became a party of death and 36 youngsters lost their lives due to consuming the poison that was put in the alcohol. This is a story that has happened. But after this story, do you think that people have stopped drinking alcohol? They haven't. They haven't. And still, even today, people are drinking alcohol. Even today, there are people who are drinking alcohol. There are people who are losing their senses. There are people, my dear Islam brothers, who are dying each and every day because of consuming alcohol. And alcohol is such a filth that there are so many thousands of people throughout the world, I can say millions of people, who are addicted to alcohol so much that these people cannot live without alcohol. And so much money, millions of pounds, is spent every year to treat these people who are addicted to alcohol. Alcohol is such a filth that a person who drinks alcohol or a person who is addicted to alcohol, I want you to listen to these very, very carefully. A person commits just one sin, but that poor soul doesn't know that 10 faults are hidden in this one single sin. Number one, when a person commits a sin, he displeases Allah Azza wa Jal, his creator, who has full control over him all the time. So when you drink alcohol, the first sin that you commit is you displease Allah Azza wa Jal. You bring anger to Allah Azza wa Jal. Number two, he pleases the one who is the most cursed one in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, the shaitan, who is not only his enemy, but also the enemy of Allah. So now, he's pleasing the enemy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Number three, he distances himself from the excellent place, i.e. paradise. So from this, my dear Islam brothers, we find that a person, he distances himself from paradise. And subhanAllah, paradise, what a beautiful place. You know, the awliya kiram, the sahaba kiram, and alhamdulillah azza wa jal, these people, they were longing to go to paradise. And a person who drinks alcohol, he distances himself from that. Number four, he draws close to a very terrible place, which is the fire of hell. Number five, though he loves his own self deeply, but treats it cruelly, indirectly by committing the sin. You know, every person, he likes himself. You know, you want to be doing good for yourself, that you want to be ending up in a good place. But someone who drinks alcohol, he is even committing zulm on his own self. He's committing injustice on his own soul, because obviously by drinking alcohol, he will be punished. So therefore, he's putting himself into punishment by Allah Azza wa Jal. Number six, he makes himself impure, whereas Allah Azza wa Jal had created him pure. Allah Ta'ala has created man pure. And that person is impuring himself by drinking alcohol. Number seven, he becomes a cause of pain to his companions who never cause pain to him, i.e. the angels. Yeah, these angels, they don't cause a person pain, but because this person is drinking alcohol, this person is causing pain to these angels as well. Number eight, he makes the earth, the sky, day, night, and Muslims witness to his sins, and hence he upsets them. Yeah, obviously when you see a Muslim brother who is drunk in alcohol, we do get upset. You see someone tumbling on the ground, you hear about someone drinking alcohol, then you naturally feel upset. Why is this person destroying himself? And then what you are doing is, because you are drinking, you're making another Muslim get upset. Number nine, through his sins, he distresses his beloved and blessed Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our deeds are presented in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What kind of a Muslim are we, that we are giving pain to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he sees that his ummati committing this sin of drinking alcohol? Do you think that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not going to feel upset? Is not going to feel painful? He is. So you are causing pain to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. And number 10, he commits a sort of violation of all the creation of Almighty Allah azza wa jal, whether they are human beings or any other creation. Violation of human rights is in the sense that he becomes ineligible. If someone needs him as a witness because of his sins, violation of rights of other creation is in the sense that rainfall is prevented from all the creation as a consequence of the sins of human beings. Yeah? So if that person, that person is violating other people's rights as well. You know, for example, just imagine if you were a witness to something that happened. You were the only witness. And that person, he needs your help because you were his witness. And because you were drunk, you drink alcohol, you are a fasiq and a fajir now. You are a fasiq, you're a transgressor. Your shahadat is not eligible anymore. So because of you drinking alcohol, you've caused someone else pain. And also we've learned that when humans commit guna, sins, Allah Ta'ala stops the rainfall. So when the rainfall stops, what about the animals that are living in this world? So they are deprived from the water because of humans committing the sins. Therefore, a person should refrain from sinning, because committing sins is self-harming. Now, my dear Islam brothers, let's try to understand what is alcohol and why has Islam ordered us to refrain from it. On page number 671 of Bahar-e Shariat, volume 3, publication of Maktabatul Madina, the publishing department of Dawat-e-Islami, it is stated, the renowned Islamic scholar Mufti Amjad Ali Azmi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has mentioned that in the Arabic dictionary, the word sharab is referred to something which is consumed for drinking. Whereas in terms of fuqaha, the Islamic jurisprudence, sharab is referred to something that intoxicates. It has many kinds. One of its kind is khamr, wine, which is made up from grapes. It is a raw juice of grapes that has been fermented and has gained intensity. According to Imam Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, for becoming wine, frothing in it is necessary. Sometimes all kinds of wine are referred to khamr, metaphorically. So my dear Islam brothers, حضرت سیدنا امام حافظ محمد بن احمد زہابی رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ has mentioned in his book کتاب الکبائر that every such thing is termed as خمر that impairs the senses whether it is wet or dry, eaten or drunk. So that is the literal meaning of sharab, of alcohol. Sayyiduna Imam Abu Abbas Ahmad bin Muhammad bin Ali bin Hajar Makki Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has mentioned in his book that the reason of calling it hamr is that it conceals the brain power. The scarf of a woman is known as khimar for the same reason, because it hides her face. Similarly, a person who hides his witness is called khamir. Alcohol is also known as khamr because it is kept covered until fermentation. According to a few people, the reason of calling it khamr is that it upsets the senses. An Arabic proverb is also derived from the same root, khamarahu da'un. Disease has upset him. So this was just some of the scholars that have written the books explaining to us what sharab is. So in easy terms, khamr sharab, why it is forbidden in Islam, because it intoxicates a person's mind. And the ruling on alcohol, Hazrat Sayyidina Imam Nu'aym Ahmad bin Abdullah Asfahani radiallahu ta'ala anhu has quoted in Hilyatul Awliya that once fermented nabiz that may cause intoxication contained in a pitcher was brought to the blessed court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, throw it against the wall, because it is a beverage for one who does not believe in Allah azza wa jal and in the day of judgment. It is mentioned in a hadith that the blessed Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam said, every intoxicant is wine and every wine is haram. In the same way, my dear Islamic brothers, alcohol, you know, whether it is less or more, it is haram. Let's listen to this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam has said that anything that causes intoxication when consumed in big quantities is also haram, and in small quantities it is also haram. So there's no such thing that some people think, yes, I'm only going to take one little sip, my doctors advise me to take one sip of alcohol, or ma'azallah, my doctors advise me to take one glass of alcohol, you know, it's going to be good for my health. It's never going to be good for your health. Mufti Amjad Ali Azmi, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he has mentioned that khamr is in itself absolutely haram. Its prohibition is proved, and there is consensus of the ummah on alcohol being haram. So nothing that we can say that alcohol is good for us, because alcohol is haram. There are more bad things in alcohol than it has good for us. So please, my dear Islam brothers, try to keep away from them. And alcohol is also nijasate ghaliza, the major impurity, just like urine, and is proven as such by absolute injunctions. Allama Shami rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has quoted some proofs for the impermissibility of alcohol, and I'll just mention a few of them, that he has proven that alcohol is haram. Number one, alcohol has been mentioned along with gambling, idols, and arrow betting, a kind of a gambling game, and these are all haram. Alcohol was declared as impure, and impure things are always haram. Alcohol has been declared satanic act, and satanic acts are haram. Now, when did alcohol become impermissible? Now, was alcohol impermissible from the beginning? Let's find out. Allama Sayyid Muhammad Na'imuddin Murad Abadi Rahmatullah Ali has mentioned in Khazainul Irfan that alcohol became haram in the 3rd Hijri, a few days after the Battle of Ahzab. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, as a Muslim, we should follow the commands of Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If in the past we have committed these sins, seriously repent in the court of Allah. Allah ta'ala is merciful, all forgiving. Inshallah azza wa jal, He will forgive our sins. Please, if there is anything that we've learned today, if there's any person who was watching this from this, and then he thinks that he was the one who used to drink alcohol. Repent now. May Allah Azza wa Jal forgive our sins. Until next time, my dear Islam brothers, inshallah Azza wa Jal, join us in the program again, where we shall be learning about more major sins. May Allah Ta'ala forgive our sins. Ameen bijahin nabiyyil ameen. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallim.